propped up by a lot of great guitar pickers in my time. And I'm probably the least guitar picker in this room tonight. And I look out there and see a lot of familiar faces. I'm thinking tonight of Tom Collins. I don't know if any of y'all will remember Tom from back in the 50s. He worked for Western Electric Company in Winston-Salem, and he was a friend of Chet. He had a broken finger on his cord hand. And with three fingers and a thumb, he managed to play every song that Chet recorded as close as he could get to Chet. He was a wonderful fellow. And he worked for Western Electric. He was an electronics genius. And he and Chester were good friends. And I think he helped Chet develop the Bigsby tremolo or something. Maybe some of y'all here will know about that. I'm not as much of a technical guy, but it was something called a Bigsby. I think it was a tremolo. Tom Collins helped Chet develop it. And there was a guy in my hometown, I used to sing in my early days of high school in Winston-Salem on the Saturday night jamboree on local television. There was a guy named Jason Lambert. Had a music store in Statesville. I think he was here last year, wasn't he? Jason Lambert, great guitarist. And kind of like Tom Collins, he loved Chet, and he'd buy every album Chet put out and try to learn to play every song as close as he could get to Chester. And those two people were as close as I could get to Chet Atkins when I was 13, 14, and I used to pick with them, and I loved how they played. And I told Tom Collins one day, I said, I'm going to get on the Greyhound bus Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm going out to Nashville, and I'm going to see if I can meet Chet Atkins out there. And he said, well, if you see him, tell him I said hello. And he'll help you out if you want to get backstage at the Opry or something. And so when I got on the Greyhound bus and I left Winston-Salem, rode all night, got into Nashville, checked into YMCA right across from the old National Life and Accident Insurance Building, and I could look out my window and see all the Grand Ole Opry stars going up the steps. Red Foley and Ernest Tubb all going up the steps under the old National Life Building. I think it was Studio B. They rehearsed for the Prince Albert Grand Ole Opry. And I was walking down the hall, and there was Chet Atkins leaning up against the wall. And I walked up to him, and I said, Mr. Atkins. He said, I said, my name's George Hamilton from Winston-Salem. And he kind of looked at me. He said, And I said, I'm a friend of Tom Collins and Jason Lambert. And he said, And that was it. You know? I thought that was going to get me some big stuff. You know? And I thought, boy, he sure is rude, you know. I didn't realize he was shy. He was shy and kind of quiet, not very vocal, you know. So I went in and I watched all my heroes in there rehearsing for the Grand Ole Opry, Prince Albert Opry, Minnie Pearl, and Chris Chester played some. And I was going back to the YMCA. I'd been traveling all night and I was kind of sleepy. I was going back to YMCA and I heard somebody say, hey kid. And I turned around and it was Chet Atkins. I said, yes sir. He said, I'm going down to Hermitage to get a haircut. You want to go with me? The Hermitage Hotel, they have a barbershop in the basement. And Chester used to go down there to get his haircut. And I followed him to the Hermitage. I must have talked his ears off. You know, he didn't say much. I did a lot of talking. And I sat and watched him get his haircut. And we were walking back up to National Life, and he said, George, you want to go to the Opry tonight, or you got tickets or something? I said, yes, sir, I've got tickets for the Opry from Prince Albert. You know, they make Prince Albert in my hometown, Mr. Atkins. He said, well, I'll tell you what, if you want to go backstage, meet me out in the alley about 7 tonight, and I'll take you backstage. And he did. He took me back and introduced me to Hank Snow, the singing ranger, Ferlin Husky, and all these great people that were heroes of mine. And that happened quite frequently during my teenage years. I'd come out every year at Thanksgiving, and Chester would always get me backstage at the Opry. And then a few years later, I was on the Jimmy Dean show up in Washington, D.C., and Jimmy booked Chet to be his guest. Remember that early morning show that was on 7 o'clock in the morning, 5 days a week? And so Jimmy would book people for a whole week, and Chester was booked to be on the Jimmy Dean show. And Jimmy was good at delegating things. And he said to me, he said, how would you like to take Chet Atkins on a tour of Washington? He wants to see Mount Vernon and the White House and all that. And I said, are you serious? I can take Chet Atkins on a sightseeing tour? He said, yeah. So I pulled up in front of Chester's hotel, and he got in the car, and I drove him around Washington, the Washington Monument. He went to see the Ford Theater and the White House. And we're going down to Mount Vernon. And I'll never forget, we were riding along, and I must have been talking a mile an hour. You know, I was still a big fan, really, more than anything else. But I was also, I probably was wearing him out, because he was just wanting to look at stuff, and I was wanting to ask him questions. And I said, Chet, I heard you played on Hank Williams' early records. He said, yep, sure did. He said, I went out to his house for dinner one night, and we had a rehearsal out on Franklin Road. Remember that? And I said, you actually knew Hank Williams? He said, yeah, I sure did. I said, it's awful the way his wife treated him, wasn't it? Chet kind of looked at me and I said, yeah, you know, all them sad songs he wrote, you're cheating hard. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. And I said, it was awful the way she treated him. That's why he wrote all them sad songs, wasn't it, Chet? Because she done him wrong. Isn't that right, Chet? And he was smoking his cigar, and he took a puff off his cigar, and he turned around to me and he said, George, you don't know the truth of the matter. And I said, yeah, tell me about it, Chet. What was it really like? He said, I figure they pretty much deserved each other. That's what he said, and he ought to know it. I made a few notes here. Oh, yeah, when he was on the Jimmy Dean show, I was playing a Gretsch guitar, and it was one very similar to the one over here with a big G on it. Remember the Gretsch acoustic? Had a G branded into it in a sort of a triangular-shaped center hole. Yeah. And Chet told me, he said, you know, that guitar is too fancy for you. You don't look like a person that'd play a great big guitar with a G on it. He said, let me send you a guitar. And about a week later, from the Gretsch Guitar Company, I got a little small, it's about the size of the little Martin. Well, not very, very different from this one. It was a Gretsch, and it had a little Roman numeral 4 up on the top of it, and I was so thrilled. When I was living over in North Carolina working with Jimmy Dean, I mean with Arthur Smith, Arthur Guitar Boogie Smith on his TV show, I sent that guitar to Ira Louvin. He was working at Showbud at Shot Jackson's place, refinishing guitars, and I sent it to him to have it refinished, and Ira sent it back to me on the Greyhound bus, and he insured it for the maximum insurable value, which was $100. And it never made it to Charlotte, North Carolina. I don't know who ended up with my Gretsch guitar with a Roman numeral 4 that Chester got me. If you see it in a pawn shop, please let me know.